Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to 365 Days with MXM Tune. I'm Maya, a singer, songwriter, video maker, Oakland native, and admittedly, I have never watched SpongeBob, but can I still be a fan of that? Anyways, I am a fan of history. I love untold stories, gross facts, hidden secrets, anything weird, dark, and funky from the past. Each day, I'm going to share one of my favorite deep cuts with you, so let's take a look at today's stories.
It's 365 with MXM Tune. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365 MXM Tune.
Today in 1986, the fictional character SpongeBob SquarePants was born. Well, maybe. When the classic show depicted his driver's license, it showed July 14th, 1986 as his birthday. But savvy fans quickly realized that since the show premiered in 1999, this would mean that he was 13 years old when he started taking driving lessons and working a full-time job at the Krusty Krab. Also, he lives alone. So in a season 11 episode, when his license is shown, his birth date isn't depicted, leading fans to think that maybe he wasn't born in 1986 after all. Weird. Then again, the average lifespan of a sea sponge, the animal SpongeBob is based off of, is only 10 years. Not to get too morbid, but the show has been on air for over 20 years. Anyways, it's a cartoon. Now that we know way more than we ever needed to know about SpongeBob's real age, we can take a look at the unprecedented success of this long-running kids cartoon. Behind the show's success was Stefan Hillenburg, a former marine biology teacher. While he was working as an educator at the Orange County Marine Institute, he illustrated a comic called The Intertidal Zone, which used sea creature characters to teach kids about underwater life. Little did he know, he had a hit on his hands. He eventually left teaching to pursue a career in animation at the California Institute of the Arts, or CalArts, the school where great animators like Tim Burton learned their craft. When he graduated, Hillenburg started working at Nickelodeon, on the show Rocko's Modern Life. But then he circled back to his old marine biology comic to create the world of Bikini Bottom. As a musician, I have to say, they have had some great musical moments on the show. Even though I technically have never watched the entirety of SpongeBob, it is undeniable that many people who walk the face of the earth have heard songs from the show. Sweet Victory, the song that the marching band plays at the Bubble Bowl, was actually composed, recorded, and produced by the songwriting duo David Glenn Isley and Bob Kulick. But still, it slaps. But then they have some original hits too, like the Fun Song, the Campfire Song Song, and Ripped Pants. There's also the Goofy Goober Song, which appeared in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. That was the sixth highest grossing animated film of 2004 too, which is saying something given the other animated movies that had hits that year were movies like Shrek 2. That's some stiff competition. Hillenburg intended for that movie to be the series finale, and he resigned from his role as the showrunner of SpongeBob, but Nickelodeon kept the show going without him. However, he did come back to co-write the second SpongeBob film, Sponge Out of Water, which came out in 2015. Unfortunately, Hillenburg passed away in 2018 at the age of 57 due to ALS, a disease that affects the brain. But his legacy continues. Fans created a petition with over 1 million signatures to have Sweet Victory performed at the Super Bowl. Sure enough, Maroon 5 paid tribute to Hillenburg by showing a clip from the episode Band Geeks during their halftime performance. What makes SpongeBob so special is that it truly appeals to all ages. There's a reason why SpongeBob memes flood the internet and why quotes from the show are so present to this day. By the way, is mayonnaise an instrument? When the pandemic rendered us homebound, we all shared screen caps from the episode where SpongeBob sings about how he loves the indoors. When people started getting vaccinated before us, we shared the screen cap of Squidward staring through his window at Patrick and SpongeBob playing outside. It's not just nostalgia that makes us turn to SpongeBob in times like this. It's that it's a genuinely funny and loved show, that has made an enormous mark on this generation. If it weren't, it wouldn't have remained on air for 22 years, with 268 episodes to date.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Now, let's talk about music. Today, in 2010, Anne Kirsten Kenis, whose Polaroid photo appears on the cover of Vampire Weekend's hit album, Contra, filed a $2 million lawsuit against their band, the label XL Records, and the photographer. She claimed that she never gave permission for her likeness to appear on the album. She later settled with the band, earning an undisclosed sum of money. Contra was everywhere, too. It debuted at number one on the US Billboard 200 and featured songs like Horchata, Cousins, and Holiday. The cover features a head-on photograph of a blonde woman wearing a pastel yellow polo shirt, a flash shining in her face. They paid the photographer, Tom Brody, $5,000 to use the photo. Kenneth said that she noticed the photo of herself when her teenage daughter brought it to her attention. By then, the photo was over 30 years old. The photographer, Tom Brody, claimed that she had signed a photo release, but she said that wasn't true. Why use the photo as an album cover anyway? According to lead singer Ezra Koenig, the image was like a Rorschach test. Different people could interpret it in a variety of ways. He said, some people get very mad when they see a white blonde girl in a polo shirt. He found it fascinating. It kind of has a Mona Lisa effect. Is she smiling? Is she feeling okay? Does she even know? And now for today's final segment, I'll be going into my own photo archives to see what I was up to on a July 14th in my life. On July 14th, 2020, I got Twitch emotes designed for the very first time. Up until that point, I'd been drawing my own emotes. I worked with an artist named Maddie, who is on Twitter at WeenieDes, if you want to check out her work. But it was really fun. I love commissioning artists to be able to make something that I have in my head turn into a reality. I love visual arts and I love drawing in my own time, but there's definitely a limit to the things that I'm able to make happen. So Maddie did an incredible job, and the emotes on my Twitch channel are a result of the process of working with her and making something that felt really exciting and emblematic of kind of the culture of live stream that I did. Thanks for going back in time with me, and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can come back tomorrow for more stories from the past.
It's 365 with MXM2. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.